Well, it's April already, somehow. April 2017. Maybe the Lord will come back. This is entitled, Get Happy, Stay Happy. And not get happy and then be miserable because of circumstances. Sometimes you can't do anything about circumstances. If the dog, you know, goes into epileptic seizures and can't live properly, it's all your fault. No, it's not. You realize, I saw a thing recently. It said that Americans rank 23rd of all the nations in happiness.
Really?
Yes. And there are more self-help books written and consumed in this country than any place else in the world. Because we live over-examined lives. Oh my God, I'm too big, I'm too small, I'm too weak, I'm too strong, I'm too hairy. Well, maybe not that one. But everything else, we got lots of things to look at because commercials and things are telling us that we can't live life unless we have their product. So people are overly obsessed with analyzing their happiness. Are you happy today? No, I'm sad. Okay, it's great, big deal. You know how you change? Called thankfulness. Family and friends matter more than money. And that's a big concept. And we'll see something with all of that. Because, you know, you can enrich people's lives and family and friends. But, you know, if you got money or you don't have money, money doesn't care. One way or the other. But people do. And envy is toxic. So is excessive thinking. You know what's another word for excessive thinking? It's called worrying. I'm overly trying to figure out how this is going to happen. Heck, I would have given this up 35 years ago if that was the case. So the conclusion of the matter is, obviously, eat more chocolate. That's it. That's obviously the answer. And think less about your happiness. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But you're cognizant of other people. 1 Corinthians 4, 3, we read, but with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Who are you to judge me? Or of man's judgment, man's day, is the text. Yea, I judge not my own self. How about that for overanalyzing the situation? I judge not my own self. Thank you very much. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Verse 5 from the Working Translation reads, in fact, I am aware of nothing against myself. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. That is, as Andrew pointed out last Wednesday, a legal term. Cut the crema. No condemnation. None. You're totally justified. End of argument. Nothing can be held against you. Nothing. Is that something to be thankful for? In the court of life, nothing. Nothing. I'm aware of nothing against myself. Now, in the court of the government of this country or state or city or whatever, that might be different. But according to God, through Christ, we have been cleansed. We have been found not guilty. Are we guilty? Absolutely. But because of our substitute, everything's paid for. So, I'm aware of nothing against myself. But on this, I am not justified. He who examines me is the Lord. It's the Lord. Go to 1 John. And you know what he's going to find? Only good. Hopefully they'll find some good. 1 John 3. Because that's what he does. He sees the real you, which is the Christ in you. That's what he looks at. That's what he finds. And we're the ones that beat ourselves up all the time. Or we figure out ways to worry. We figure out ways to doubt. We figure out how not to trust God. Instead of just waking up next morning and moving ahead. 1 John 3:1. Behold. Wait a minute. According to the text, it's behold. Hello, wake up. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. You know what it's like waking up knowing that God loves you? 40 years ago, nobody loved me. Least of all, a God, not the Roman Catholic God anyway. That God was always trying to trip me up and throw things and make my life miserable and all the other things. But knowing that God loves you, what's that worth? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You child of God. You child of God. You son of God, you. How dare you be a son of God? Isn't that great? And what's not in King James, but what's in the text is, and so we are. We are children of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Don't fit into the world, because then you're part of the world, but you're not living for God. The world doesn't know what to do with us, because the world is made up of natural men and women that don't have a clue. It knew him not, it knows us not. But, beloved, we really are now sons of God. You know, I was told that maybe when I woke up from dying, that I may be in heaven, I may be in hell, or maybe in purgatory, or limbo, or Cleveland, or someplace. I'm going to be somewhere, but I won't know till then. Is there anything you can do about it then? There's no second chances. You can't go back in the Wayback Machine and relive yesterday or last week. But you can live today and then enjoy the future. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when Christ comes back, we're going to be just like him, for we shall see him as he is. This looks like a win-win situation. Children of God now, God's our Father now, and when Christ comes back, we'll have a new spiritual body, then we'll be with him forever, and it will be great and wonderful and spectacular. Sounds like a win-win situation to me. Is that something to be thankful for? Is that something to be miserable in this life over? I don't like this life because I'm... Look at Philippians 4, because the world doesn't like me. It's not going to. And if you want something in this life, it takes a little bit of effort. But God is there for us, guiding, helping, leading. He'll even have somebody come and fix your furnace. Might charge you. Philippians 4:19. Again, familiar verse. But my God, our Father, your God, my God, the God of all eternity, shall supply all your need. Is this true or isn't it? He'll do it according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, it's really disgusting to serve a poor God. You know, there's so many people who are sold out to the different gods of this world, the gods of fame, the gods of money, the gods of cars and vehicles and partying and whatever you want. Those are terrible gods to have in your life to sell out to. The true God, though, is a rich God. He will take care of his children. First Peter, you got Hebrews, James, Peter, towards the back of the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 5. So, a little happiness is a good thing. And here are some ways to get happy. And then stay that way, because it's an attitude. You can let the world get to you. You can walk into Wonder Mall and go, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this. Oh, I don't have that. Or you can go in and go, man, I'm glad I don't have to make payments and all this stuff. Really, I don't have room for it all anyway. My garage has got too much stuff in it. 1 Peter 5:6. Here's step one. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you're always thinking about yourself, it's always me, Lord. How come you didn't do this for me, God? How come this didn't happen, God? Or, God, you're only taking care of me. Humble yourself, therefore, upon the mighty hand of God. And God will exalt you at the right time. And here's the next part. Humble is an active verb, something you got to do. It's not all about me. Life can't be. Christ died for you, yes. And then we are told to go tell others about it. Casting all your care or concern upon Him. Because God really is concerned and cares for you. Casting. You know how you cast something? You throw it. You give it to Him. Get out of the way because you don't want to take it back. Casting all your concerns, all your cares upon Him. Because He can really help you. He can do something about it. Give Him the cares and get a good night's rest. Be sober. Be vigilant. And here's the reason why sometimes days aren't as good as others. Because your personal adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about looking who he can devour. He is seeking. And you know who he's after first? Those who are Christians. Those who stand for the one true God. He's after them because they're supposed to be a shining example. But if you don't keep your head in the Word, if you don't humble yourself, casting your cares, if you don't be thankful, then you're losing to the devil. So you be sober. You be vigilant. You be ready with the Word to handle the attacks. Because he's looking. He's got a dartboard with your picture on it. Today, it's Amber's turn. Let's see for Carl's start. Boom. Oh, she lost her phone. Boom. Oh. You know, that's his job. That's why, you know, sometimes bad things happen to good people. But God will see you through because you give Him the cares, you know you need the help, and you keep moving. So, this roaring lion, this adversary, resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished or experienced by your brethren that are in the world. Oh, like this is something new that's happening to you? No, sorry. Everybody goes through it. Everybody's experienced it. This is what you got to look forward to. Well, if you stay in touch with God, a lot of times He'll keep you out of those places. But people have experienced the things you're going through. You're not alone. You're a child of God. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you've suffered a little bit, that's just living life, make you perfect, make you fully equipped, established, strengthened. He'll also settle you, or He'll give you a solid foundation. So God of all grace can strengthen you, can establish you, can fully equip you, can give you a firm foundation. Then maybe we ought to get to know about this God of all grace. He's willing to do all that. To Him be, the word glory are not in the text. To Him be dominion or foundation, a firm foundation. To Him be the firm foundation forever and ever. So that's what God will do for His children. Because you're His child. He wants the best, but there's an adversary trying to muddle the waters. So, the key is to be thankful, and if you read the book, if you get up in the morning and you read the book, it's hard not to have a better day. Just open the book for 10 minutes and just read something. Jesus wept. Okay, I'm ready to go. Well, I can read other things. You know, there's a lot of good stuff in there. When you read these things, going, God's going, I'll help you, I'll help you, I'll take care of you. Meet me halfway, you know, talk to me. Because one of the things, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, because one of the major keys that helps is prayer. That's how we stay in touch with God. And God doesn't mind us whining to Him. People get tired of it, but God doesn't. Oh, why did this happen? Because your adversary, the devil, is messing with you today. 2:1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, which are specific requests, prayers, intercessions, and giving and thanks be made for all men. You don't have to pray for the women, but just pray for all men. No, that's all included. So, God says, stay in touch with me with specific requests, with general prayers, with making prayers or intercessions on behalf of others, and just a genuine thankfulness. be made for all, even for kings and presidents and for all that are in authority. Why? Why do we got to pray for those people in Washington, D.C., or in the governorship, or the mayor, or the city council, or that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, a quiet and tranquil life, in all godliness and honesty. Honesty is dignity. We can lead a quiet and peaceable. I like that kind of a life. The older I get, the more quiet, peaceful I want life to be. I don't need all the drama of life. Gets old real quick. But godliness, that true, vital, spiritual relationship with God, and, you know, dignity. All right, go to your handout there. And in your handout, we read priorities. Are our priorities right? Well, let's see. 1 Timothy 6 from the Working Translation. Verse 3, if anyone teaches something different and does not approach healthy words. What are healthy words? Those of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want some, you know, some words to eat instead of Honey Nut Cheerios, that's some healthy for you, go the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the teaching according to godliness. And God does not like religion. Religion is going through the motions without a heart. Godliness is a true, vital, spiritual relationship with God. It's God one-on-one with you. God caring. God taking care of you. You having a relationship with Him. That's what He's after. If anyone teaches something different and does not approach healthy words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the teaching according to godliness, then he's puffed up with pride, knowing nothing but having an ailment of the mind. How you doing today? I've got an ailment of the mind. That's not healthy. Relating to controversies and word battles. I'm kind of like watching CNN versus Fox. You got controversies and word battles. And of course, the end result of all of that, and the end result of a lot of this is envy, strife, slander, evil suspicions, constant quarrels from people corrupted in the mind and deprived of the truth who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. I just got a huge raise. I got more godliness. No! That's not where godliness comes from. You having a relationship with God. That means, you know, taking Jackson out for a walk, that's what you do. Or Finn. If you need to take Finn out, learn how to communicate with Finn better. So, godliness is a mean gain. But if you want to get into the world, you want to have an ailment of the mind, word battles, controversies, constant quarrels, dealing with people who are corrupt in the mind, deprived of truth, God bless you. I serve it, you know. And then again, 6, godliness with contentment is a great means of gain. That's a huge statement. Being able to have a relationship with the true God and be content with where you're at and what you have, that's a great means of gain. Certainly we brought nothing into the world, nor are we able to carry anything out of it. As long as we have sustenance and shelter, we shall be content with these. And how many people are? Somebody told you, you get to the more, that's all you want. Sustenance and shelter and maybe a dog. You're content with these things. However, those who desire to be rich, not those who are rich, well, people who are rich, most of them aren't in this category. It's people who don't have wealth that they desire. However, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a trap and many senseless and harmful cravings. And boy, do they get taken advantage of. But wait, for 1990, which caused people to sink into ruin and destruction. Whoa. It starts with you having a desire, a mental approach for too much. Then you fall into temptation and traps, senseless and harmful cravings, and then you get worse. You sink into ruin and destruction. Certainly avarice, lust, is the root of all the evils to which some have aspired and have been led astray from the right way of believing and have wounded themselves with many sharp pains. That sounds like a lot of great happiness in here, isn't it? No. However, you, O man of God, flee from those things, and instead, here's what you are to pursue. This is what you're to go after. Justness, godliness, believing love, patience, and meekness. I wonder why God puts all this stuff in here instead of you have to go after the biggest, the baddest, the quickest, the fastest, the newest. No. Pursue justness, godliness, believing, love, patience, meekness. Sounds like you might end up helping people. And you'll be able to sleep easier and be more at peace with your life and be more thankful. Contend in the good contest of the right way of believing. You take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and confess the good confession before many witnesses. I charge you before God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate that you keep this commandment spotless, blameless, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will be shown in its own time by him who is blessed or happy, and only powerful authority, the King of those who are kings, the Lord of all those who are lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no person has seen nor is able to see, to him be the honor and the strength forever. Amen. Put your priorities straight. Justness, godliness, believing, love, patience, meekness, and watch how the burdens go, and then you can live so much better today. Hebrews 12, great reproof here. Let's keep reading. Therefore, verse 1, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses, which is chapter 11, all those great believers who stood for God despite lots of controversies, therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses encompassing us, let us strip off every impediment and entangling sin, you know, the stuff that's holding us back, mentally, most of it, get rid of it and run with patience in the contest lying before us, looking with undivided attention to the leader down the path and perfecter of the right way of believing, namely Jesus, who because of the joy lying before him, endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and then completed his work and sat down at the right side of the throne of God. By all means, attentively consider him. When things in life aren't going good, think about what he had to do, and you get real appreciative of what he did, and a little less unthankful. And he... consider him who had endured such controversy from sinners against himself. So why? Why do we consider him? Why do we take our thoughts to him and what he accomplished? So you're not weary and exhausted in your souls. God, if you're walking around being complaining and whining and weary and exhausted all day long, you're not living life. You're a child of God. You know, you can talk to God. You can worship God. You can tell others about God. By the way, none of you have withstood to the point of shedding your own blood while struggling against the sin. You have also completely forgotten the exhortation that reasons with you as with sons. My son, do not make light of the discipline from the Lord. And do not become exhausted when you are reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges or corrects every son whom he accepts. You know, some of us, there are animals, and we just let them do whatever they want. No, they are trained. They are disciplined. And everybody's happy. And then you scourge them. No. Verse 7. By enduring with regard to discipline, God deals with you as sons. In fact, what son is there whom a father does not discipline? Now, if you are without discipline, of which all sons have become partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. You walk around with nobody helping you and training you and disciplining you. You're going to end up trying to figure life out and it won't be very good. You won't be acting like a real son. Furthermore, we all had fathers of our flesh, disciplined instructors, and we respected them. Shall we not, to an even greater degree, be subject to the Father of spirits and live, have a better life? Moreover, some, for a few days, disciplined as according to what seemed profitable to them, but he, the Father, this is God, for our profit, so that we may partake of his holiness. All discipline at the moment received does not seem to produce joy, but instead grief. Nobody likes to be corrected. No, you know, but we all need it. Is it joyful? No, it's grief. Then, though, later, when we think about it, it yields the peaceful fruit of justice to those who have been trained by it. Wherefore, strengthen the weakened hands and the paralyzed knees, and make straight or make smooth paths for your feet, so that the lame part is not wrenched out of joint, but rather healed. So pursue peace with everyone. What can I do to make this situation better? Pursue peace with everyone and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Take care that no one comes short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness grows up. You know, what are you planting? Oh, I'm planting bitterness. And I'm going to water it and I'm going to keep staying bitter so it will grow. No, but that's what people do. They let a little bitterness in there. Before you know it, it's Jack and the Beanstalk time. It just keeps growing, this bitterness, which may cause trouble and cause many people to be stained by it. I thought that was kind of a really interesting look. You become stained by allowing bitterness to continue to grow in your life. So don't be a fornicator or profane like Esau, who sold his birthright for just one meal. So, great exhortation there to live life for yourself. No, to think of others and walk in love. And we close in Psalm 1. Middle of the Bible, Psalm 1. One. God wants the best for us. We should want the best for ourselves too. And it's one body. We live with in the church with others. And unfortunately, there's 6 billion people in the world, so you can't get away from people anymore. You can't just go up into northern Alaska all by yourself because they've been cameras up there and video you now. My wife watches those shows. Blessed is the man. Psalm 1:1. You want to be blessed or you want to be happy? Blessed is the individual that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So are you hanging out with ungodly sinners and scornful people? Stop it. You won't be very happy. You'll be very bitter, as a matter of fact. Instead, verse 2, but his delight is in God's word, the law of the Lord, and in his law, in the goodness of God, the things he's made available, does he meditate day and night? That's what he thinks about. That's what consumes him, thinking about the greatness of what God has in store for us today and in the future. And then, because of that, you'll be like a tree planted next to the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper or be successful in. You'll be successful by aligning and meditating on the word, living for God. When we need to get slapped around by, you know, figuratively, by the word, corrected, all of that, we realize we need doctrine, reproof, and correction. Then we continue to be and endeavor to be the best we can be the next day and the day after. And then Christ comes back. Yay! One day at a time. So, don't walk with sinners. Don't stand around with sinners. Don't sit and have coffee with them. It just drives you crazy, crazier into this world. But meditate on the word and live for God in light of the family. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.